Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
One of the best series we've ever run on Open House with the most remarkable stories was I Am Second, people often battling incredible odds in life who come to a point of great wisdom where God is, thankfully, number one in their life. They all say, I am second. There are so many stories in this remarkable movement. We're dipping into it again over the coming weeks. To kick off, Lee Lucas fell asleep on his couch in his apartment and was trapped when his home was consumed by fire. Lee was rescued but suffered third and fourth degree burns to 35% of his body. Lee says this about his experience. I've never been tortured, but torture would be very close to what I went through. But he also says he found light and hope in Jesus Christ. Now he stands proclaiming, I am second in this powerful movement sweeping the world. So, for the second time, an I Am Second series here on Open House, and Lee Lucas kicks it off for us. Lee, welcome to Open House. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can I start by asking you this? Tell us about your life before these terrible events, Lee.
Well, I was in my mid-20s, going to school and working full-time, just doing what an average young person does.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 27.
At that point in your life, what would you say was important to you? What were you living for?
I was living really for myself. Yes, I'd been on a few mission trips, but mainly most of the things that I did were mainly just for me.
So you entered this with Christian faith?
Yes.
So tell us about what you remember from that day you became trapped in the flames, Lee.
I remember earlier in that day going to help my mother clean a bunch of stuff out of the attic of her house. After that, I went back to my place to watch some football and baseball, fell asleep, and woke up 21 days later.
21 days later.
Yes.
So what caused the fire?
A neighbor of mine was cooking French fries or something in his kitchen with grease, and he had walked away from his kitchen. There was a fire, it was a grease fire, and he tried to put it out with water, and it spread. You don't put grease fires out with water.
No.
And the fire spread, and he was in the same building I was in. Fire spread, went through the air ducts, and came over to my place and basically engulfed the whole building.
So you actually remember nothing of the fire?
Nothing at all.
You wake up 21 days later. What goes through your mind about where you are and what has happened?
I remember thinking, why does everything hurt? Why can I not move? And I was really concerned because I saw that my parents had tears of joy in their eyes, and then they told me what had happened.
How did you make it out of the flames? Who found you?
I had an alarm system. My alarm system called me. I did not answer. Then they called my parents, which lived about 5 minutes away, and they rushed over, saw the flames coming out of the building, and frantically searched for me, could not locate me, saw my vehicle, and then told a police officer that I was unaccounted for. And within about 120 seconds, firemen were in my building looking for me. Pulled out by firemen, then taken to the hospital and to the ICU unit where I spent 21 days.
What have your parents told you about what you were like in those early hours and early days?
They said that I was basically just laying there motionless. I had soot stains on my mouth, my nose, ears. They did mention that every time one of them came into the room, the nurses said that my blood pressure would go up, which meant that I knew that they were there. I've heard stories of people from my church gathering around my bed in the yellow hospital gowns all praying, but basically it was, from what I understand, just motionless. They couldn't do anything for me. It was all in God's hands.
As you came to, what were you making of the circumstances that you're in and what you'd been told about what had happened?
That was initially my first question, was what had happened. I had learned about the fire. I had learned that I'd been in ICU for 21 days. That kind of 30 to 90 second stare, just kind of thinking, 21 days. And then I actually asked if the White Sox had won the World Series. And I found out that they did, and I said, good. I wish I had seen it. And I actually found out that a radio had been placed in my ICU room so I could listen to the game.
And that meant a lot to you.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm struck powerfully by that reference to torture, very close to what you went through. Can you find a form of words to describe what that felt like?
The best way I can explain it, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the fact that the number one killer of any burn survivor or burn patient is infection. So what that means is for a patient to remain infection clear, that they must continuously do burn dressings, which basically consists of a nurse or nurses slipping off your bandages and then washing your wounds with soap and then bandaging you back up.
Yeah.
And yes, pain medicine was administered during this time. However, there was never enough pain medicine for the pain to completely go away. Also, the pain medicine did kind of mess with my head a little, and I did not exactly know where I was, so it literally felt like I was laying in a dark chamber with people prodding me, causing pain, and I could do nothing.
It's a very powerful way of describing it. Can I ask you what was going on in your emotions, feelings of shock and anger?
The initial shock the best way I could think of it would be kind of like a mourning process, like the loss of a loved one. There's a great feeling of nothing will ever be the same. Nothing will, things have changed. I have no idea what is going to happen. I'm completely in the dark. Kind of like a woe is me moment. A lot of sorrow, feeling bad for myself. It's, of course, normal for a situation like that.
But, absolutely.
That was the initial emotional feeling. And then what happened is I just said to myself, I was like, this is not me. I'm thinking like someone who has already been defeated, someone who has already lost. I have a very, very hard head, so I was not going to maintain that attitude for a very long time. So I began to realize what it would take to make it through daily burn dressings and recovery. And I tried to begin to comprehend the full scale of what had happened. And I came to the conclusion that some sort of intervention was needed, that I could not do this by myself, that I needed someone else to help me conquer this.
This may sound like an entirely bizarre question to ask, but were there any times when you felt some gratitude for still actually being alive that you made it through?
Oh, yes. There was definitely some gratitude that I was alive, but at the moment, I had no idea how long my ordeal would last.
Yeah.
I had no idea how long I would be in the hospital or how much pain I would remain in or if I would ever be pain-free. And yes, I was happy to be alive, but kind of skeptical as to what would come.
Was there an anger or a rage against God? If you went into this with Christian faith, what did you make of all that?
Definitely there was some anger. There was some harsh emotion. I actually kind of turned away for a moment and said, why would you do this? Why are you making me suffer like this? About a day or so later, I began to think of Jesus Christ being on the cross. He suffered. So I was like, what I'm going through is a meal comparison to what he went through. So, I'm going to maintain my faith, make it through this as long as it takes. I don't care. I will come through this with flying colors.
So what would you say got you through?
I would say faith, definitely. Faith in God, faith that my parents, my family, my friends would be there for me. Faith that through the Lord I would make it. A faith that if I followed, a commitment for me to never give in, I would eventually recover. And not only recover, but grow with the experience.
Yes.
It's kind of like a rock-solid faith that God would give me the strength, the determination, the willpower to see this through to completion. And through God, I would have the perseverance and the fortitude to keep pressing forward, to never give up. When others would stop walking in rehabilitation, I would continue walking, never give in, to keep moving forward. That, yes, I've got a struggle right now, but in the end, it'll be worth it.
which is the powerful story you've told in I Am Second. How did your link up with the I Am Second movement begin, Lee?
Initially, I was kind of dumbfounded, and I looked into it more, and I thought that it was a very, very great tool to use to not only share what God has done for people, but also in a way to glorify God. And the fact that it is on the internet says that it can spread throughout the world in a matter of seconds. So all of this combined added up to a very, very great and powerful thing.
Tell us why you think your story connects with that phrase, I am second.
Simply because if I did not say, God, I will go through this, I will make sure that, you know, I'm doing my part, that I'm moving forward constantly, that I'm taking extra steps in my rehabilitation, that I'm doing extra things to make sure I recover, if you just give me the will and the determination to make it. And that says a lot, because I come into a contact with a bunch of people who are under the impression that if you pray to God, that he should give you whatever you pray for.
Yes.
And my understanding of it is, no, that's not the case, because if God gave you everything you prayed for, he would be doing everything. You know, that wouldn't build your character. You know, it wouldn't do anything for you personally, because if all you knew was all you had to do was ask God and it would be done, there would be no work to do. So that alone, in my opinion, resonates with people all over the place, because some have a kind of a misunderstanding, in my opinion, of I ask God to do it and he'll do it.
They're great insights and wisdom that you could probably only pick up in the midst of something like this. Lee, 8 years after the fire, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing well. I work. Go to church, go on mission trips, cook outside as much as possible, do yard work. Yes, I'm doing fairly well.
Let me ask you this question, and again, it may seem like a bizarre question, but if you had a choice of going through this or not, having experienced all that you have and learnt all that you have, would you choose to go there again, or would you choose to avoid this experience?
I mean, I would never change what has happened, because I would not be the person that I am right now if I had not gone through it. The people I've come in contact with, the people who have said that they've heard about my story and that it's helped them, you know, that alone has made it worth it.
It's an amazing thing to say. And I'm so glad that you've generously spared us the time to kick off our second I Am Second series here on Open House. Lee Lucas, you're an absolute gem. Thank you so much indeed for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And before I go, I just want to say I'm Lee Lucas and I'm Second.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.